Max Lucado tells the story of a hiker in a barren prairie desert who was huddled down. The cold northerly wind sweeps over him, stinging his face, his hands, and numbing his fingers. The whistle of the wind is deafening. The hiker hugs his knees to his chest, yearning for warmth. He doesn't move. The sky is orange with dirt. His teeth are grainy and his eyes are sooty. He thinks of quitting, going home, home to the mountains. Ah, the mountains. The spirit that moved him to the mountains seems so far away now. For a moment, his mind wanders back to his homeland, the green country, the mountain trails, fresh water, hikers hiking on well-marked trails, no surprises, few fears, rich companionship. One day, while on a hike, he had stopped to look out from the mountains across to the neighboring desert. He felt strangely pulled to the sweeping barrenness of what lay before him. The next day, he paused again, and again on the next day, and the next. Someone should go there. Shouldn't someone try to take life to the desert? Slowly, the flicker in his heart became a flame. Many agreed, someone should go. But no one volunteered. Uncharted land, fearful storms, loneliness. But the hiker, spurred by the enthusiasm of the others, was determined to go. After careful preparation, he set out alone. With the cheers of his friends behind him, he descended the grassy highlands and entered into the desolate wilderness. The few days, his steps were springy and his eyes were keen. He yearned to do his part to bring life to the desert. Then came the heat. The scorpions, the monotony, the snakes. Slowly, his fire diminished. And now the storm, the endless roar of the wind, the relentless cold. I don't know how much I can take. Weary and beaten, the hiker considers going back. I at least got this far. Knees tucked under him, head bowed, almost touching the ground. Will this ever stop? Grimly, he laughs at the irony of this situation. Some hiker I am, too tired to go on, yet too ashamed to go back. Deep, deep is his struggle. No longer can he hear the voices of his friends. Long gone is the romance of the mission. No longer does he float on fancifulness of this dream. Maybe someone else should go do this. I'm too young, too inexperienced. Or like some of us, I'm getting older. I'm not as strong as I used to be. The winds of discouragement and fear whipped at his fire, exhausting what was left of this flame. But the coals remain, hidden and hot. The hiker, now almost the storm's victim, looks one last time at the fire. What will he do? I wonder if Paul felt like this hiker when he was spreading the message of Jesus Christ to Gentile Christians. Good morning. I'm Julie Wiseman, Pastor Julie to many of you. I'm an associate pastor here at Eagle Ridge Church of God. You usually see me, or don't see me, which is what I prefer, at the piano. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day you have given us. We thank you for those in our number who are traveling, and we just pray that they would be safe. We thank you for our dear sister Colleen, and pray that your hand would be upon her this week as she has surgery. We pray for the people who love you dearly today. We read in Psalm 19 that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display your craftsmanship, and day after day they continue to speak, letting their message go through to all the earth. May the words of my mouth, meditations that come in my heart, be pleasing to your sight, O Lord, my blessed Lord and Redeemer. Amen. So we're going to read out of Colossians today. We've started this series this summer. And my chosen verses are Colossians 1, 24 through 27. I will be reading from the New Living Translation, if you want to look it up in your Bible, or through wireless devices. We had those upgraded this week, so hopefully it's a better deal. We also expanded the broadband, so hopefully it's going to work today. And it will be on the screens as well. We know that's working today. Well, I better keep my mouth shut. Let us read Colossians. Paul's work for the church. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming the entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it is being revealed through God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. So first you may ask, who is a Gentile? Paul mentions Gentiles in Romans 15, beginning with verse 14. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach others all about them. Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that you need a reminder. For by grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news that so I may present to you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I work among them. They were convinced by the power of the miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news wherever the name of Christ has not been heard, rather than where the church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scripture where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. From the Jewish perspective, a Gentile was often seen as pagan, who did not know the true God. During Jesus' time, many Jews took such pride in their culture and their religious heritage that they often considered Gentiles as unclean, calling them dogs or uncircumcised. Gentiles and the half-Gentile Samaritans were viewed as enemies and were shunned by the Jewish people. However, Jesus came to offer salvation to all people, Jew and Gentile. The prophet Isaiah predicted Messiah's worldwide ministry, saying he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles and would be a light to the Gentiles. In Mark 7, Jesus helps a Gentile woman who was asked her daughter be freed of a demon. As the gospel spread in the early New Testament era, many Gentiles were converted. In Acts 11, it is recorded the reaction of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. When Gentiles in Antioch were heard the good news, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed. When writing to the mostly Gentile church in Rome, Paul communicated his goal, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Paul realized the coming of Jesus provided the opportunity for salvation for whoever would believe in Christ's name. Gentiles were long seen as the enemies of Jewish people, yet Christ provided good news for both Jews and non-Jews. Paul praised the Lord's goodness in his letter to the mostly Gentile church in Ephesus when he said, "Remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus," I get so excited when I read that, "now in Christ Jesus, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jew and Gentile, one, and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility." Isn't that wonderful? I get excited when I read it. So Gentiles were considered first pagans, those who did not know the true God. Then they were considered unclean. They did not have the pure culture and religious heritage of a purebred Jewish person. And then they were shunned. The Gentiles and the half-Gentile Samaritans were viewed as enemies. And as we read in Romans 15:16, Paul says, "I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles." Can you envision these Jewish people going to a foreign place and trying to tell the message of salvation to these people that they shunned? God had to do something in their hearts to make that happen, didn't he? So, who are the Gentiles today? Who do we think are Gentiles? Who do you consider a pagan? Someone who doesn't look or act like you? Who do you consider unclean in our culture? Someone who doesn't talk or dress like you? Who do we shun? People with different beliefs? Or people who don't know the Bible as well as we do? I hope not. When Paul makes this very bold statement at the end of verse 27, "And this is the secret, Christ lives in you," this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Okay, Paul, what's this big secret? What's the secret he's talking about? He steps out to make this statement to the Gentile people. The Jewish thought at the time that the deeper things of God were only revealed to the pious, the faithful, the spiritually enlightened persons who with great understanding, people who spent time in the synagogue studying the Holy Scripture. Paul is saying that Gentiles, us, can know Christ and have him dwell in them, and that this was God's redemptive plan from the beginning of time. Jews and Gentiles would be united under God. Now Christ would not only dwell in the chosen, the Jewish people, but also in the Gentiles who made up the bulk of the church in Colossae and in elsewhere places where Paul was. It is a mystery overflowing with blessing to its recipients. God also refers to glorious riches. And we in the U.S. church here, we have glorious blessings that we just don't even begin to compare to what the people in the early times had. And we take those for granted sometimes. But these Gentile believers in the first century, to realize that the Messiah came for them, what a wonderful blessing that was for them. This was truly a marvelous thing. In a devotional I was reading by Henry Blackaby, I was reminded, nothing else matters if your relationship to God is not as he intends it to be. Now, I had to read that a lot of times to get it to soak in. Nothing else matters if your relationship to God is not as he intends it to be. So you ask yourself, is my relationship with God all that He wants it to be? The key to living out your relationship with God according to His will is that you understand this mystery, this secret, that Christ lives in you. Sanctification is not something Jesus gives us. It's Him dwelling in us. We do not imitate Him. He inhabits us, and it flows out. This mystery of God is astounding. Christ dwelling within us. And He has given us His hope of glory. In fact, Christ lives in us. We bring hope to the people that remain in darkness. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so you can better understand this mystery of God, this mystery of Christ in you, the one truth that will transform you, and it does to be prepared the hope of glory, and it will permeate your life, and it will affect other people that you see and interact with. We cannot fully understand how a holy God could inhabit this holy, unholy body of dust. We don't have to. We just get to accept it and enjoy it. So how do we share His glory? The word glory first appeared in the Old Testament in talking about the brilliance of God in His presence like a consuming fire. Paul makes reference to this in 2 Corinthians 3. We who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness and ever-increasing glory, which comes from our Lord. As stated in Romans 8, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, if we children then are heirs, heirs to God and co-heirs with Christ. In other words, we share His glory. Christ opened the door for all of us, Jewish people and we who are Gentiles. So, how do we let others know about this message? Take out a billboard? Yeah, it's kind of old school, isn't it? We could advertise on TV, but not everybody watches TV anymore. There's this new thing called Comcast or YouTube TV. I mean, there's all kinds of new TV, so you never know which one to do. We could make a podcast. That's an idea. Or do a YouTube video. But that's limited to just our group of people, isn't it? It's only to the people we know. So is there another way to share this, a more effective way to share it? What is our work for the church? Paul picks that up in Colossians in verse 28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Henry Blackaby further challenged me on this, the last two verses. What is the goal of the kingdom that I am working for? The Greek word behind working means energy or power. It describes physical and cosmic forces. In the New Testament, it was understood that it primarily is the activity of divine or evil powers. Paul used this word to identify the source of his strength for ministry. God's power that raised Jesus from the dead empowered Paul to do his ministry. The apostle labored and strived with power of his Lord, accomplishing things he could never have done on his own strength. That same power is available to us today, to all who are in Christ. It is accessible to you. And of course, I have a song. The chorus, I'm sure the song is now going through your head, isn't it? The chorus of the song by Jason Ingram and Jeremy Camp, Same Power. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. Can we believe that today? That power lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. He lives in us. So, how do we tell? Yeah, we're still trying to figure out how to tell this to other people. 2 weeks ago, when Tim Vickie spoke on June 24th, he challenged us to make our prayer time more than just quick requests sent up in a time of trouble. When we spend time with God in prayer, we will be led by His Spirit to those who are seeking to know Him better. On July 1st, when Josie Vickie spoke, she reminded us that spending time in God's Word enables us to progress from being a spiritual infant. It is through this discipline that we can begin to know God and move closer to Him spiritually. We then gain a sense of who we are in Christ and how to deepen that relationship. Last week, Pastor Bill asked us these three challenging questions. What is God trying to say to you and to me today? What step of obedience do I need to take? And then, who do I need to help me take that step of obedience? So the goal of Paul's ministry then was to bring people to maturity in Christ and not dependency on himself. Paul wanted to emphasize that his work was for every man, in contrast to the false teachers at Colossae who believed that the way of salvation was so involved that it could only be understood by a select few, a spiritual aristocracy, so to speak. I'm glad the gospel message is not complex. The salvation message is as simple as red, black, and white. We are going to be wearing these bracelets when we go to Uganda. The bracelet is many colors. Red. This one is gray, but it's red, black, white, gray, and yellow. The first one, or black square on the bracelet, reminds us of darkness, of something that is not clean. Humans disobeyed God and committed sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin caused darkness in a person's life. But then the red square reminds us of light. Or think the color of blood reminds us of the price that God paid for our sins. Jesus gave his life by dying on the cross. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in me would not die but have eternal life." Then the white reminds us of light, that things are clean. We trust Jesus to remove our sins and cleanse our hearts. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then the green square reminds us of life and the things that grow. And when we choose to follow Jesus Christ, we receive that new life. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and everything is made new. With this new life, we can grow closer to God. And then the gold square reminds us of heaven. Jesus is the King in heaven, and he promises all the people who trust in him will receive eternal life. So when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we experience eternal life, fullness of life here on earth, and then fullness of life in eternity in heaven. I want to focus on the green square right now. This green one reminds us that grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior from 2 Peter. I was reading in Richard Foster's commentary the other day, and he reminded me that we need to be patient to rest on God's plan and timing. Now, patience is not something I do real easily. I have to work at it. I don't know about any of you. But I want things to happen, and I want them to happen now. But God has a different plan, doesn't he? So he wants us to rest in his timing while being alert to the opportunities that he may provide. An example that Richard Foster used was a farmer is helpless to grow grain. He can do everything right. He can plow to provide the proper soil. He can sow the seed. And as we've seen this year, they have to actually go out and water their own fields because we haven't had much water. And then we have to pray and lean upon God's resources that the grain will grow and can be harvested. This is the way the spiritual disciplines of prayer, studying God's word, and meditation are. We work on them diligently day by day, and the results then are something that God brings into our life through the Holy Spirit. So we are all on this journey with God. While it's impossible to know exactly where a person is with the Lord, we all need guidance and encouragement from others who can help us on this journey. As Pastor Bill said, who is going to come along with you and help you in this obedience? Paul also makes reference to this as we continue to read in Colossians. Paul wanted to be an encourager. Colossians 2, he says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you so that no one will be deceived with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. He was a busy writer, wasn't he? All those Pauline epistles in the New Testament. Even during house arrest, he's reaching out to other people. And as Tim showed us, he was chained to his Roman guard, and so that kind of hindered what he was doing. He could just sit around and mope about himself, but no, he wrote letters to other people. So how can we make that encouragement personal? Have you ever received a note of encouragement from a fellow believer? My family was totally blessed during our crisis around the Easter time. Family members from all over the United States, people in this congregation, missionary friends in other countries, former members of our congregation who still keep in contact with us, constantly were reminding us that they were praying for us and that they were lifting up our name to God in prayer every day. I have tried to reply to everyone who honored us during that sadness, but I need to thank all of you for your prayers and the sharing of this journey with us. When my daughter and her family were here at the end of June, they felt so loved and cared for, even though they live far away, they still felt your hearts with them. I kept every card that somebody sent me. Similar to the new believers in Paul's time, they kept all those epistles that he wrote and then passed them around to other people to share the good news. I wanted to share with you about the cards I'm still receiving from my cousin. She and I roomed together in college, but lived far apart while we were raising our families. But in our hearts, we were still close. After the passing of Ryan, she sent me a lovely sympathy card. But that wasn't the end. I received lovely cards from her every once in a while, even through the recent loss of her own brother-in-law. She was sending me cards, reminding me that she was praying for me and praying for my family. What an encouragement that has been. So what should I do in response? Well, I want to pass it on to somebody else. I want to give somebody else that blessing, and I'm sure you folks do the same thing. As Paul has said in verse 1, I want you to know how much I have agonized or prayed for you and for the church at Laodicea, and for the many other believers who have never met me personally. We have a chance to pass on to other believers who we have never met personally. First, We can help the medical staff in Uganda by bringing basic medical supplies that we can take to them, dental supplies for our dental clinic. And you folks have been doing that all along, and this is kind of like the end, the sprint. We have one more week to go, and if you have anything that you want to bring, please bring it. Also, pray for Colleen on Wednesday. She will be undergoing surgery in Calgary, Alberta, so on Wednesday, remember to pray for her. And then if you have any children of promise who have the UG in their code, we will be taking, if you want to, we can take backpacks to them with school supplies, but I need to know today who they are and what their country code is so that Colleen can know. She's trying to get all this stuff done before she has surgery on Wednesday. So if you are working with, I have a child of promise in Uganda, I need to know that today. Next, help us be a bridge of friendship. We have 100 friendship bags that our quilting ladies have made this, they made them last winter, and we're getting ready to take them with hygiene supplies. And our dear sister, Carlene Hintz, has crocheted crosses that will go inside the friendship bags so that we can share the gospel with people that we present a friendship bag to. So please, we need help with that. Since the people of Uganda speak and read English, we could use some small New Testament Bibles. If you have some sitting around, it'd be great to have them. We could still use some general hygiene supplies, but more important than that, could you write a note? Could you write a note of encouragement to someone you have never met? In the worship folder is a card. And do you have time before the end of this service tonight, today, to write a note of encouragement? There'll be a basket in the lobby to collect them. And that would be muchly appreciated. And we will add them to the friendship bags as we take them to our friends in Uganda. So also, we have some other things that we could use. We could use cami tops, flip-flops, some simple, small white dresses that could be used for wedding dresses. To carry all this, we still need additional 29-inch rollerboard luggage. When you've got 19 people going, that's a lot of pieces of luggage. And we can take 50 pounds in each piece of luggage, so that's a lot of stuff. And I'm going to fill them all. And last but not least, we need help to inventory, pack, and weigh the luggage the week of July 23rd. There are sign-up sheets in the lobby. The team will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 6 to 8, and you can come and help us pack the friendship bags, pack the luggage, and help us take that air out of all those plastic bags so we can get more stuff in there. But we would just love to have you join us and fellowship with us as we're getting those things packed. So let's return to our hiker. The hiker, now almost the storm's victim, looks one last time for the fire. Is there any greater challenge than that of a stirring of a spirit while in the crutches of defeat? Yearning and clawing, the temptation to quit is gradually overcome by the urge to go on. Blowing the coals, the hiker once again hears the call of the desert. Though faint, that call is clear. With all the strength he can summon, the hiker rises to his feet, bows his head, and takes his first step into the wind. What gave him the urge to go on? Where did he look? Did he see a mountain range in the distance? Did he feel God's Spirit calling him? Did he remember a loved one at home? Did he feel the strength of someone who was agonizing in prayer for him? Is God calling you to be more than you think you can be today? Join me as we watch this video.
You get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what
Come
he does.
On.
He's a moo, right?
That is so dumb. It's a knock
dumb.
Knock
it's
joke.
Funny.
Hey, Laura.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins. not ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise Alleluia.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay. Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me, live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want,